parents in Maplethorpe, as we know it, the last resort, don't we? And spent 5 months on the dole. So I'm unemployed, not knowing what on earth I'm going to do next. Went on a course for the unemployed, got a job running the course, and 25 years later, I am Craig Collinson Limited. I work with all sorts of different companies, from the Ministry of Defence down to sole traders, everybody in between. I deliver leadership, communication, positivity training. I'm an executive mentor, I'm an NLP practitioner, I'm a certified hypnotherapist, I'm a speaker, I'm the president of the regional Yorkshire branch of the Professional Speaking Association. And it all started from a book, not my book. So the intent behind that book was to help somebody in the way that 25 years ago, when I'm flat on my face, a book called The Power of Your Subconscious Mind by Joseph Murphy. And if you've never read it, I suggest you get it and have a little look. Introduced me to affirmation, visualization, goal setting, how the mind works, in a way that I'd just never experienced before. And it was so simply written. It's quite religious, the book, and I'm not. I'm spiritual, I'm not religious. Some of you might sort of fit that bill, you might not. But why I very rarely recommend any books is because a book that turned me on might completely turn you off. So it's not my place to say, oh, you must read. I'm just saying, for me, that was the book that did it, and it completely changed my life. And I'm sure you've been in those sort of situations where the universe speaks to you. And I was in WH Smith's in Sheffield. I'd taken my parents shopping. I got 20 quid in my back pocket, which was the remains of my gyro for the fortnight. And I'm stood there, and I'm looking at this book, which was turned that way on, as you can imagine, and all the other books were that way on, and it sort of sat, and it was like calling to me. I think it was 12 quid. I thought, 20 quid I've got. So anyway, I bought it, and for the first time since I read Charlie and the Chocolate Factory when I was 9 in one weekend, I read this book over one weekend. And within a year, I'd attracted my wife, I'd visualized the job that I then moved into. And everything changed, and it's quite bizarre. And like lots of us do, what I did then for the next 20 years is picked it up sometimes, put it down sometimes, in terms of the strategies. Because knowledge is not power, is it? Knowledge is only potential power. Unless you do something with the knowledge that you've got, then it's not powerful, is it? Please come in. You're all, come and have a seat, wherever you like. This bit would be lovely, actually. Come and join us in. Come and have a sit wherever you like, as long as it's in this bit. Come on the front. You're absolutely fine, and you're welcome. You said, oh, well, yeah. We're a hidden secret, so welcome to you both. Lovely to see you both. Thank you for joining us. So that book changed everything for me, and this little few minutes that we've got together is what I call the umbrella speech, or for the purposes of this weekend, I call it Why It's Folly to Forget Your Brolly. So in terms of strategies in the book, why an umbrella? Have you ever heard the concept, Edward de Bono's six thinking hats? Have you ever come across that? Simple, isn't it? Put a hat on, take a hat off. So I thought, how can I put this together so it's simple in a speech? So the idea of an umbrella or a brolly is it's a very simple tool, isn't it? Like all these are in the book, the simple strategies. It's very, very easily portable. Even if you've got it with you and you don't need to deploy it, somehow you just feel better for having it there. But at the times when you need to actually put it up, it offers you phenomenal protection. So that's why it's a brolly. And the thoughts that I want to go through with you are actually in a beautiful PowerPoint presentation, but I haven't got access to PowerPoint. So what I need you to do is just use your imagination a little bit. And I just want to get in your mind a beautiful burgundy and gold brolly, you know, the 8 different sections of a brolly, and it's sort of revolving. And on each of the panels, there's a word or a hyphenated word, and that's what I just want to hang some of these strategies on as we go on through. So the words that we're going to talk about are thoughts, people, power, peace, self-talk, perspective, choice and direction. And for each of the panels, we'll take them each in turn. And the idea is, I just want to give you loads and loads and loads of things to think about, practical tools, which are all more deeply explained in the little book. And I know my lovely friend Sam, what's Sam, wasn't it? She brought the book yesterday, and I would greatly value, so I would greatly value your feedback, because it helps me to write the next ones, absolutely. What people like. So anyway, if you just get in your mind's eye, as the beautiful Brolly spins, the word thoughts. So we've got the thoughts on this first panel of the eight on the Brolly. And the idea behind that is, I want you to think about this big security guard standing guard at a door, which is the door of your mind. And in terms of the thoughts that we think, that's the key. We have to, as Jim Rohn used to say, stand guard at the door of your mind, because your mind's like a factory, and we're like on a great big conveyor belt of all these thoughts. And if you believe some people like Deepak Chopra, they would say we think about 50 to 60,000 thoughts a day, which is bizarre, isn't it? And of course, we're not thinking them all at the conscious level, clearly, because our minds would just explode. But at the conscious and the unconscious level, and the superconscious, which we'll talk about later, all these thoughts and images and things are going on. And about 95% of what we thought yesterday, we're going to think again today. And if we don't interrupt the pattern of our thoughts, we're going to think them again tomorrow, because we're just creatures of habit. And the mental side of it, the unbelievable power of thought, is incredible. And in the book, there's a chapter, there's a strategy devoted entirely to other people's thoughts, the quotes that go back to Marcus Aurelius all those years ago to present day, about the power of thought. Oh, by the way, I should have said, any time you want to ask a question or disagree or chat, well, don't. But if you want a challenge, ask a question, want something explained in a bit more detail, chat up. It's very free and easy. And then I just want you to think about the classic example of an iceberg. So in here, this is a reminding session. Lots of you lovely people who come to things like this, I know you're already on board with this thing, and it might be something very, very gentle that's a prod to your unconscious or subconscious or whatever you decide to call it, that just might remind you about something that you really think you ought to be doing that you've just forgotten about or you just don't bother with. So the iceberg principle, very, very simple. The top portion of the iceberg above the waterline, you could regard that as the conscious area of your mind. Logic, self-talk, reason, five senses, it's all there. And then the submerged area, the 90% below the waterline, that's the unconscious. That's really your powerhouse, your mental genie in the lamp. Believing, if you do as I do, that the thoughts you put in take root in your unconscious and come back to you as the reality and the circumstances of your life. So that's the iceberg strategy. And then if you think about the way the mind works in a couple of different ways, first of all, as a computer program, again, this is going to be very old to some of you, but you are, at the conscious level of the iceberg, the programmer. You are writing the program of your thoughts. So the programmer is you consciously. The program is the 90% submerged. So your program can't do anything that you've not programmed it to do. And we know from a child's point of view, up to about the age of about five, a child's unconscious mind doesn't have anybody standing guard at the door of the mind. It's wide open. So whatever it's told or what it chooses to believe or it hears on the telly, then that goes in deep. And then once the door's closed, it's in. So I deal, or used to deal, when I used to do a lot of one-on-one with the NLP and the hypnotherapy, used to deal with people who were in the late 50s and 60s who were still combating the problems and the fears and the phobias that went in when they were 3 and 4 years old. And people can live an entire lifetime like this, as you know, if they don't know how to interrupt the pattern. So today it's about giving you some strategies to interrupt the pattern. And then if you think about your mind now, rather than a computer program, as a garden, again, it's a classic analogy, the garden of the mind. Our unconscious mind is an incredibly rich, fertile piece of soil that we choose to plant the seeds in. And there's a beautiful little poem. Your mind is a garden, your thoughts are the seeds. You can plant flowers or you can plant weeds. And that's the truth of it. We can either focus on the positive or focus on the negative. And if if we plant a daffodil bulb, we're not going to get a tulip, are we? We're going to get what we plant. I mean, it really is that simple. But people don't necessarily get that. And then just a couple of final comments on thoughts, and we'll move on. The bumblebee, as you know, isn't supposed to be able to fly because its body's too fat, its wings are too small, and it's got insufficient muscle to get it off the floor. But the thing is, nobody's told the bee, so it just gets on with it. So what I want you to think more about is like a bumblebee thinks. No limits, no what I can't do, just I'll get on with it. Regardless, that's really important when we come to direction later and your goals. And then the analogy, if you can imagine a glass jar and we've got five fleas. So we put these five fleas in, and it's because it's what they do, it's what they get paid for. They jump, and eventually they all jump so high, all the five fleas gone. If you could find them again, put them back in, now put a lid on the jar, the fleas start to jump again because it's what they know to do. And they all eventually bang their little heads on the lid. And then, ooh, that hurts, look. So then they think, oh, I'm not going to do that anymore. So then they jump just below where the lid on the jar is. When all five fleas are doing that, you take away the lid, then what happens? The fleas continue to jump just below where the lid on the jar was, because now the fleas have got a false ceiling in their mind, a height above which they believe they can't rise, when in reality, there's no such thing. So think like a bumblebee, just beware of your own false ceilings. What are you telling yourself you can't do? So for me, a classic, I do a lot of presentations and training. And one of the things that people say, oh, I could never stand up in front of a group and do what you do. Well, you could, because if I can do it, you can do it. Because when I first started, I used to throw up with nerves and overwhelm before I went on. So trust me, you're not telling me anything I didn't tell myself. And it's just, it starts there. It starts with the mindset, doesn't it? If you believe you can or you believe you can't, you're probably right. Henry Ford said that, and he probably knew a thing or two, didn't he? So thoughts are just incredibly important. So as the umbrella revolves, you doing great imagination here. This particular panel has got people written on it. So this is a relatively short bit. But if you can imagine the poison ivies, the Captain Miserables, the negative Nellies, the emotional vampires in your life, the people who you just have to spend a little bit of time with and you're like a husk. They've sucked all the energy, the positivity out of you. And they make you feel absolutely rotten. You've all got them in mind, haven't you? Yeah, not you two. So the thing about that is there's a belief system that says we are the five people that we spend most time with. So if the five people you spend most of your time with are all upbeat, can-do, positive, come-on type people, wonderful, that's going to be you. If they're not, if they're the negative Nellies and the human vampires. So in the book I talk about pessimistic people, toxic types, two different strategies, two different sets of what you can do about it. But you seriously, you cannot afford the price of what they're charging you to be in their company. Oh my word, sorry, I've offended somebody. So the thing, let me walk about, so switch this on. So the thing about pessimistic people, toxic types, you can choose to spend more time with the positive people. And the mentors, as I call them, might be people who are dead. Now, that's a bizarre thing to say, isn't it? Lots of the mentors, the positive people I spend time with, are dead. And I'm not talking about, oh, is there anybody there? I'm talking about YouTube and Wayne Dyer and Napoleon Hill and Jim Rohn and all these people whose words of wisdom are all there for free. The seminars that I watch for free on YouTube that would have cost me £500 a ticket if I'd have gone to them at the time. Phenomenal. So if the only people in your life who are positive are not people you know, that's all right, spend time with them. But be around them. Soak yourself in their rays rather than letting the negative and the negative Nellies and the emotional vampires suck the life out of you. And I know it's hard sometimes because it could be your family, it could be your parents, it could be your boss, but hold on, because there's more techniques coming in a later panel. So, you know, just beware of the pessimists. and spend time with the positive people. Now, here's where we start getting into some stuff you can do about it. So the next panel that revolves, panel three, is power. So with power, you've got one of the slides that I would have shown to you is there's a beautiful deer, an adult deer, and in its mouth it's got an old battered polystyrene cup. And the analogy behind that is you are never ever going to see that in nature, are you? You're never going to see an animal walking about deliberately carrying rubbish with it in its mouth. It's never going to happen. Unless it's a bird building a nest, that's a different thing. But animals, they wouldn't be daft enough to do that, would they? And yet we, in terms of the emotional baggage, the garbage that we carry around with us from years gone by. I had a very, very odd altercation with another stall holder yesterday, which was extremely negative and quite bizarre and left field. And for a period of time, it bothered me. She deliberately came up to the stall to say something about something, because she was obviously grumpy about something. I'd never met her before. Now, the old me would have still been seething about that. Does that make sense? And even though I was like, what's going on here at the time, and I dealt with it in the most assertive way I possibly could, it still bothered me for a period of time after. I was still having the old mental argument. Oh, I should have said, oh, I wish I had said that. But after a period of time, it went. The old me would have been the deer with the polystyrene cup, and would have still now, well into next week, some people that you know, hopefully it's not you, are carrying garbage from 20 years ago, aren't they? And they will not drop it, which is mad. It's insanity, isn't it? But it's what people do. So I don't want you to do that. And the power is, you have the choice. You can get rid of that. You can drop it. And oftentimes, like with my lovely friend yesterday at the desk, the people that cause you the most issues have got hair on top, haven't they? But they're people, aren't they? They're not things. Food mix is not going to make you want to smack somebody in the mouth with a cricket bat. A person is. So when you've got the ability to let go of your anger and just let it out there, that makes life a lot easier. And you can, and some of you will be aware of the technique of write a letter and burn it. And if you've seen the film The Green Mile, anybody seen that film, Tom Hanks? So you've got the big fella John Coffey, the criminal wrongly accused, who's got the ability to suck the badness and blow it out as confetti and butterflies. That's the analogy of write a letter and burn it. So if there is somebody in your life, and it could go back to when you were at school, when you were picked on, when you were bullied by that person or that group, they can all get a letter. It could be your current boss, it could be your best friend now who takes advantage, it could be your partner. And honestly, I have helped to bring people back on more than one occasion from the brink of divorce with this technique, because it allowed them to get the bile, get the poison out. And the write a letter and burn it, how many of you have used that as a technique already? Ah, fantastic. You're aware of it? Okay. So the key is, that's really, really important, and some of you already know this, when you've written what you want to say to them, and you can F and Jeff and be as vile as you like, you don't read a word of it back. Dump the poison, fold the paper, don't read it. It's not a journaling exercise. You're not capturing your thoughts and then taking it back in. You dump the poison, get rid of it. 15 letters to 15 different people I wrote one Sunday afternoon. At the time there was Pam, my wife, and my dad, who didn't get a letter. Everybody else, including my mum, including my daughter, including lots of other people around me, got a letter. And the relief and the release that comes with just watching it all go up in smoke and turn grey is quite incredible. Some people might need 20 letters, some people might need 20 words, but use it, because that's the power that you've got. And of course then you've got the power that comes through meditation. How many meditators have we got in the room already? Yeah. So the ability just to plug into something bigger than yourself, and if it's new to you, then guided meditations are on the internet for free. But of course we have to be very careful what we're allowing to pump into our head if we access the internet, because there's all sorts of nonsense out there. So if you know it's credible and can be trusted, then please allow it into your head. But just the ability, you know, Oprah in a book, What I Know For Sure, talks about the sometimes that she used to sit and meditate for a minute in the loo. She used to go into the ladies' cubicle to calm myself down before a show, and just closing the door and sitting quietly for a minute and getting into contact with whatever it is that we think's out there, or more importantly, in here. So that's power. Meditation's power. And then, of course, power in terms of stress. And if you can imagine two circles, and this comes from Stephen Covey's book, Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, and it's habit number one, which is be proactive. And I talk about it more in the book, and obviously give him credit for it. But it's the idea of, in the middle, we've got what he calls the circle of influence, things we can do something about. And on the outer edge, you know, the 95% of stuff, there's the circle of concern, the things we can't do anything about, and yet you and I and people that we know over the years have gone into the circle of concern many, many times during the day and fretted and worried and stressed about. Let's list a few at the minute then. We've got North Korea, haven't we? We've got the B word, haven't we? That could be Boris or Brexit now. We've got Donald in America. I mean, please. There are so many things that we can fret and worry about, including Love Island, and I'm a celebrity, get me out of here, and who's doing what to who on the front cover of the... I mean, none of it matters. None of it matters. And yet, there are most people, I would say, that I know, walking about out there in the circle of concern rather than in their circle of influence, which is what you say to yourself, what you choose to see in your mind's eye, and what you choose to let in. Plus, there's things like, there's practical things like those people who are completely concerned about global warming. Are they recycling everything that they can recycle? And if they're not, well, why worry about global warming? Because on a practical individual basis, they are not doing the basics that they can do. But people, you know, most of the people who I know who rail and rant and rave and are the armchair politicians and generals about Brexit, guess what? They never voted. And yet now, do you know people like that? Mm-hmm. So for you, you make sure you stay in your circle of influence and not get wrapped up in the circle of concern. And then, of course, in terms of stress, there's the big four. When we get stressed, we release adrenaline, as you know, into our system, which is not good. So in order to access the endorphins, the happy hormones, there are four major things that we can do. You probably know what some of them are. There's laughter, there's exercise, there's good quality dark chocolate, and there's sex. So there's, I say it like that, then it's not offensive to anybody. So those four things are the things that release the good quality endorphins. It's a good date, isn't it, really? You put all four together. But only you know what you are getting enough of. Endorphin releases, and leave it there. It's lunchtime, after all. But in terms of stress, there's a lovely slide that you're never going to see with three beautiful puppies with the pointy nose looking out, and it's just because on a slideshow, that's what you should have. You should have dogs, and that's just the reminder of what do you know that you should be doing to de-stress yourself more. That you've stopped doing. So that in itself, unbelievably powerful. Just take back a bit of ownership and make sure that you get some good quality me time every now and again, because you can only give to another person what you've got inside you to give, can't you? And a Wayne Dyer comment is, if you want 12 oranges from me, I have to have 12 oranges to give you. So if people want a bit of you, you have to have it to give them. And if you haven't got it, it is, isn't it?
So true.
See, it's the wisdom. See, I spend time with dead Wayne and I learn this stuff all for free. Would have cost me a fortune, that 12 oranges. So that's power. Now, number four, as it revolves, we've got peace. So this really is a one-item agenda with peace. And it's I want you to imagine a picture of a bedroom and a bed that's on legs. And under the bed, you've got whatever it is that a monster looks like to you. So it might have tentacles or a big ugly ogre's face or whatever. But imagine that. And in terms of the monster under our bed, that's worry. And worry is totally negative, completely destructive, steals the day from you, worrying about what's going to happen tomorrow. Even more insane is worrying about what's already gone, because it's gone. now. And Eckhart Tolle talks about the power of now, and he's another one that he's not dead, but I spend time with him as a mentor. He's one of Oprah's friends, so he knows a thing or two. And it's the simple concept of what is the point of worrying? Because the present moment is all this is all we have now, and that one's gone. And the one that's going to come in 5 minutes is not here yet. So we're exchanging energy now in this present moment. So what happened 10 minutes ago is no point worrying about, because it's gone and it's never ever coming back. What's going to happen in 10 minutes is not here yet, is it? So we can't actually affect that because it's not here. And it's just simple concepts like being grounded in the moment, which of course is mindfulness and all the rest of it, as you lovely people will know. But in terms of the worry, when the worry comes, there's a really simple strategy of one word, and it's whatever word floats your boat. It could be the word delete, cancel, stop. But when the worry comes, stop, delete. Now, if you're standing waiting to pay for your shopping in Morrison's, don't be saying that out loud, because they'll take you to a safe place. But if you're not, if you're like in the shower, in the car, just and you're no, stop. And there's a wonderful guy called John Kehoe who trains mind power, and the training that I went through with him online, everything that every minute that I've spent and every pound that I paid for it was worth it for this one line. And his big line when it comes to worry is, you are only a thought and I don't have to think you. That's it. If you could encapsulate the lot into that, so worry comes a knocking, critical inner voice, worry, we'll talk more about the critical inner voice in a bit. And you say, look, you're only a thought, I don't have to think you. You're only a thought, I don't have to think you. You're only a thought, I don't have to think you. I'll talk about the ice bucket shortly, you'll understand more about that. But also, again, you'll probably do this. When the worries come, write them down. Take them out of your head, out of where the power is, and just write them on paper. So now you've got it out there. You could, if you want to, designate a worry slot. So you could say, right, I'm a big old worrier, so between 6:45 at night and 7:00, that's my 15-minute worry slot, and I will go mad in that particular 15 minutes. I will stress and worry and go to the blackest end of pessimism. But when it gets to 7:00, I'm done. That's it. I'm back to normal then. And I'll collect my worries, but I won't let them bother me. So concertina it all down. And a great one is to take it to ridiculous extremes. So if you're at work and you think, oh no, if I don't get that report done, I'm going to get in trouble, I might even get sacked, I'll lose my job, I'll never get another job again as long as I live. That means I'll have no money, I'll lose my house, I'll have nothing to eat, I'll be living in a shop doorway, I'm going to be eaten by Alsatians, I'm dead. That's it. I mean, that's absolutely ridiculous. And that's what you do with a worry. Make your worry work for its time in your head and make it utterly ridiculous. That's where the power is. So that, in terms of peace, gives you quite a bit to work with. Now, one of the biggest areas of where you can start taking immediate action, as the umbrella turns round, number 5, 5th panel, is self-talk. So this is the unbelievable power of just being able to choose the words in your own mind. Remember, you're only a thought, I don't have to think you. Well, that absolutely comes into these. And if you think about the concept again of seeds and weeds, whatever we plant in the garden of our mind, if you plant enough of the seeds and you fertilise it, and faith, and that's nothing to do with religion, that's belief that it's going to happen, or even belief it's not going to happen. You know, the power of negative belief, the power of belief is what we're talking about. So you plant the seeds, and in terms of the ice bucket challenge, do you remember that? People used to tip a load of that, wasn't it? Did anybody do that?
Yeah.
Did you?
Yeah.
Was it really that cold?
Yeah.
Gee whiz. So there you go, bang. But instead of icy water, and was it icy water?
It was icy water.
So instead of icy, what we could have done with that about 3 nights ago, couldn't we?
Oh, I know.
When nobody slept. Oh! Just did that all night.
I'm living
this brave. You were brave. So this ice bucket of water, icy water, regard that instead as an ice bucket of positivity. And what you do in order to get in your beautiful, fertile piece of unconscious mind the best harvest you can is, imagine I plant one seed. I'm having a wonderful day today. There you go, one seed, once. But if I'm doing that for 2 minutes at a time, like 10 times a day, that's a lot more seeds, isn't it? And it's about putting in as much as possible in the time you've got. And of course, if you're not in your circle of concern, worrying about who's doing what on Love Island, then you've got time to be in your circle of influence, haven't you? Thinking about the things that actually matter, which is you. You're the one, you are the most important thing in your universe. Because if you believe some people's philosophies, you are your universe and you're creating everything that happens. Now, that's a big thought, isn't it? However, this is where it can possibly start. So there's a massive difference between I can and I can't, isn't there? It's only one little apostrophe and a different letter on the end. So the way that you can plant the seeds in the garden of your mind, various different wordplay affirmations. You've got about 5 more minutes left and we're done. So you can plant the seeds in the garden of your mind with the simple I am. So I am whatever you currently know. Now again, some people regard I am as the name of God. I am that I am. So whenever you say I am, what you're actually doing is invoking the name of God. And if you believe in God, what more powerful forces there in the universe than that? So if you've got that on your side, what else do you need? However, just taking it back to basics, I am, if you're not a wonderful public speaker, that'll be a good place to start. I am a wonderful public speaker. I am confident. I am articulate. I am whatever you're not yet. And if that critical inner voice, boom, come smashing into your head. No, you're not, you're rubbish, you're hopeless, you're going to fall flat on your face. Blah, 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 blah. So it comes needling away at you. So if that happens and you think, oh, I can't be dealing with this, then just take a step back and say, I am allowed. I am allowed to be a wonderful public speaker. Well, you are. I am allowed to be assertive. I am allowed to be confident. I am allowed to be popular. I am allowed to have a wonderful job. I am allowed to live in my dream home. You are. You absolutely are. And no critical inner voice has got any sort of leverage on I am allowed, because you have. And then when you sort of build yourself up a bit, then you can, I am, yeah, I am, because your little critical inner voice is going to slope off like a wounded animal eventually. If when the worry comes, you only thought, I don't have to think, you nice buggy, go on, clear off, do one. So just, you know, take ownership of your own thoughts, which are utterly random, as mine are. So I am, I'm allowed. Or third option is you can use positive statements, something like, and this comes directly from Rhonda Byrne's The Secret, there's always a parking space whenever I need one. Guess what there is for me these days? There's always a parking space wherever I need one. Now, I might need to drive round for a couple of hours, I'm kidding. I might need to drive round for a couple of minutes, but there is, and it's normally right outside the door. That's bonkers, isn't it? That's spooky, that's coincidence. Well, is it? Or is it this? But you see, the more that you can believe that, I can say something and it happens, that's powerful, isn't it? Mm-hmm. So, just this one line, everything always goes right for me. What a statement that is. So whatever chaos happens, and we're all surrounded by it at the minute, all of us, Brexit and Trump and everything that's going on in the world, seems to be, depending on who you talk to, like the consciousness speeding up. We're all going absolutely like, ooh, like a spinning plate at the minute. However, if you can just keep yourself grounded in the moment that you've got and sort of plant the seeds that you want to plant, wonderful. Everything always goes right for me, statement. And my favourite one is by a use of question. So my standby question is, why am I having such a wonderful day today? Why am I having such a wonderful day today? Why am I having such a wonderful day today? Why am I having such a wonderful day today? Why am I having such a wonderful day today? If I've got an hour and a half drive to get to somewhere that I'm going that day, I can easily devote 45 minutes to it in bits, and I do it by the radio oftentimes. If I've got something I'm listening to, I'll turn it down for the 2 minutes of the talking or the 2 minutes of the record or whatever. And for that 2 minutes, because it's really, really hard work to do 45 minutes, why am I having such a wonderful day today? For 40, it's like, oh, give it a break. But if you can do it in bits, that's the harvest. That's what you're planting, and guess what? So yesterday, I had a wonderful day. Today, look at you lot, wonderful day. There might have been nobody in here, and then I'd have been talking to the grass, wouldn't it? But the fact is there is, so, you know, wonderful day today. And if you say, if you think about a blank screen, and on that blank screen you put, why is my life so rubbish? Your mind has got to go off to give you answers for that. It's got to go off on a search. If you put, why is my life so blessed? Why is my life so wonderful? Then your mind's got to go off, because it's your servant, and find you the answers. So questions, you know, you just sit. In my journal I wrote 7 pages or 1 hour one Sunday of why questions. Why? And from that, I selected about three or four that I now use. But just, you know, be as grandiose as you like in your whys, because they work. Or, you know, how easily am I making my relationship with more positive? You know, whatever it is that works for you. So words, self-talk, unbelievably important. Final quick three. Number six on the panel, as the umbrella spins, is the word perspective. This is a really, really quick one because it doesn't need much explanation. So perspective is quite simply, as you already know, how you choose to see things. And one of the key things that you need to see differently, in my opinion and my experience, is stop seeing things as win, lose, black, white, success, failure. Stop all that. Stop giving it the label and see everything that happens as a result or an outcome. That's it. So result or an outcome. We came along here for the weekend with loads of books. We might sell 10. We might sell 500. Doesn't matter, does it? It's a result or an outcome. Doesn't matter. And if you think, oh, we've only sold 15 books in an entire weekend, equals failure, doesn't it? But does it? No, it's just an outcome, isn't it? It's our first foray into doing the wellbeing events. It is what it is. We've met some lovely people. Pam's found someone bullish. Pam's got fibromyalgia and she's basically in pain all the time. Yesterday, she came back mid-morning covered in magnets. I said, what's that? She said, look. So she did with her arm what she's not been able to do for months because she's got a magnet on there. So, you know, she's bought a few magnets. That could have been the reason we were meant to be here for this weekend, because how else would we? Do you see the difference?
Yeah.
So if you just see things in a better light for you, that in itself can just, you know, if you take the word nowhere and just elongate it a bit, it says now here, doesn't it? So impossible, put an apostrophe in, I'm possible. Just depends how you see stuff, really. Choice. So two more to go. Number seven, the word choice on the umbrella. You've got a choice. On the slides, there's a lovely picture. Not lovely, it's gruesome, actually. There's the picture of the torture chamber in Bruges Castle, and it's hideous. It looks awful. Do you ever see the Tudors? You ever see any of them? So, like, torture chamber, awful. And if you think about, if you let your mind run wild, it's a mental torture chamber. You are putting yourself in your own mental torture chamber. It's insanity. So you've got choice about taking full responsibility, taking ownership, taking 100%, talk about it in the book. It's a classic thing. Jack Canfield talks about it. Loads of people talk about it. But if you stop blaming everybody else in the universe for everything and take responsibility for everything, what's gone, what's to come, and you say, I used to, but I don't do that now. I'm not that person anymore. I'm now this person. So take responsibility for everything you've done or not done, knowing that that's gone. Can't do anything about that. What's to come, unbelievably powerful. And then you could also take responsibility in terms of choice for gratitude, being grateful. So again, the saintly Oprah talks about the more you're thankful, the more that you've got to be thankful for. That's how she's got where she is, the world's first black female billionaire, from nothing to that. Phenomenal. We can't all be Oprah or Steve Jobs. We can't all be presidents and prime ministers, but we can all take responsibility for our little lives, and we can do it in a spirit of gratitude and thankfulness. And just the word thank you, you know, if you just said thank you. I was waiting for 18 minutes on hold at the doctor's. You know that feeling, don't you? Waiting. So I could either be banging my head on the desk, or it's amazing in 18 minutes how many times you can write the word thank you on scrap paper. Three sheets full. Do you see the difference? And it's just knowing the simple tools to keep you grounded. But gratitude is unbelievably important. And finally, my friendlies. So as the umbrella spins finally, this panel, number eight, is direction. And it's about knowing what you want from your life. We've already talked about what's gone's gone. Doesn't matter. You can learn from it. Can't do a thing about it. What's to come is in your gift. But most people know very, very well what they don't want. very few people tend to know what they do want, and the power of having directed goals, knowing exactly what you're going for. So on the back of our study door, we work from home, think about this in perspective. We work from home, work all over the place, but we're based from home. So we've either got the spare bedroom or we've got a home office, haven't we? Do you see the difference in perspective? So on the back door of our home office, which is kitted up like an office anywhere else, but it's a bedroom, so pick the bones out of that. So you shut the door, and our entire door to the study is a vision board. The whole door is one big vision board. So the house that we will live in, so it's a done deal. It's not, oh, I'd like to. That's it. We will have that. Now, it might take 5 months, it might take 5 years, but I am having the house. I know exactly where it is, every bit of it, because it's there on the back of the door. The people that I want to meet, the achievements that I want to make, the destinations that we want to go on holiday, it's all there in living colour, bright. And the key is, with your goals and with division boards, is also put yourself in the picture. So Pam and I are on everything. We're in the house, we're in the car, we're on the beach, we're with the people, we're there. So what you're doing is you're planting the seeds deeply in the garden of your mind and giving your unconscious mind, that's the direction, that's what I want. See, in terms of history, the only great endeavour that didn't have a plan was Christopher Columbus. Because when Christopher Columbus set sail, he didn't know where he was going. When he got there, he didn't know where he was. And when he got back, he didn't know where he'd been. So that's the power of a plan. You've got to know what you're doing. And so clarity and persistence. So with your goals, when you, and again, there's stuff all in the book about goal setting. Oh, and by the way, just to do one plug, all this stuff, before I forget, is going to be delivered on the 5th of September in a one-day seminar. We've done it deliberately as an open programme, which I don't normally do, for people coming here this weekend and anybody else on Eventbrite that clicks onto it after. But it's about mindset, it's about the things we've been talking about, it's about goals, it's about explaining and teaching people how to actually visualise. One lady who was in the previous course, they were doing a guided meditation when I came in, and she came to the tutor and said, I can't visualise, how do you visualise? Well, I know that feeling, because for years I couldn't visualise, so I've researched it and found out how to do it from a point of view of you just shut your eyes and see the back of your eyelids. Well, that was me for years. So now I know how to do it, and there's strategies that you can employ to do that. So all that and more is on that one-day course, which is going to be at Hemswell Court, which is a beautiful venue just outside of Gainsborough. So we've got, there's details of it on our table. It's also on the leaflet table. It's on Eventbrite, or you can, you know. But I'm not saying it for you. If you know anybody, if you, wonderful. But if you know anybody who might benefit from a real intensive day of mindset, positivity, techniques, goal setting, how to visualise, all that stuff, that's all in one package. So that's coming on the 5th of September. But in terms of you, you do have so many simple tools that you can employ, and really it's a case of just putting up your brolly and making it work for you. Thank you so much. Cheers. Does anybody have any questions about anything? Anything at all?
Thank you for downloading this talk. Lizzian Events organise unique wellbeing shows. We are dedicated to community-driven events which connect visitors to the exhibiting community. Lizzian Events shows are centred on visitors discovering new ways to find happiness and well-being. The shows are inspirational and enjoy a superb reputation for a calm and relaxing atmosphere. During a weekend visit, visitors enjoy up to 50 free inspirational talks. If you can make a contribution to the talk schedule or have an interest in the community, contact Lizzian Events to find out how you can work with this growing and influential organisation. Read the daily Lizzian Events news to keep up with show information, the community, and inspirational ideas. Thank you.